probably is good occasion to remind you what I was telling you anyway, almost all this Christmas time. This Christianity, essence of Christianity is not the law. We have the law, but that's not the most important. Not even the devotions, not even the prayers. Essence of the Christianity is the person. Union with a person which is alive and in heaven. Through baptism we become members of the body of Christ. And we share in his life as much as we are in union with Christ. You see, I think most of the Catholics think that resurrection is if I'm good and then I die and God says you were not too bad, so okay, I will let you to go into heaven. That's childish vision, okay? Sorry for if you have such vision, so sorry to tell you this way. Resurrection means being united with Christ risen. And that union becomes here and now, as simple as that. This victory over death begins today. As soon as you hear this good news and you believe it, this victory over death begins here, not the day after you die. We have to conquer death even now. That's what is important. You see, the second reading tells us that that the devil has power over humanity through the fear of death. Through the fear of death, devil keeps us enslaved to sin. And I heard so many times, Father, I'm not afraid of death. And I forgot my gun, so I cannot check that. But the point is, when we say the fear of death, doesn't mean that somebody is waking a whole night awake thinking I may die one day. It's not that we are afraid in this way. But we are conscious that our time is short and everything changes because of death. You see, just why we are not afraid of death? Because we try to avoid thinking about it. Nobody wants, if you mention somewhere that we are dying, well, come on, don't speak about things like that. And what is the most profitable industry in the world? Tell me. Entertainment industry. Why? Because it helps us to forget that our time is passing. We are ready to pay millions of dollars to actors, to players, to help us to forget, to distract from the fact that second by second I'm approaching death. We are terrified with that. And to avoid terror, we go to casino. To avoid terror, we watch the movie, which helps us to forget. To avoid that terror, we were going to watch Super Bowl and whatever. Nothing wrong in watching all this, doing all this. All this is good, but it's important to recognize that fear of death changes the way how we think, how we are. I want to give you an example of the fear of death, much simpler. You know that I was atheist till I was 30 years old, and then my niece was schizophrenic and I was visiting her in hospital, and I loved her very much. I was visiting her every day. But when I was 30, I received a phone call telling me, after 2 years of visiting her there, telling me that she tried to commit suicide and that she survived. Now, I guess you cannot, because you think good about me, many of you, not all, I think that you cannot guess what was my first thought. My first thought was, I was sorry that she survived. I'm ashamed still of that, but that's true. And why was that my first thought? I was 30-year-old atheist, who thinks my only chance for happiness is this few years of life which I have. And my, sorry to say it bluntly, but I didn't think it in this way, but that's true. My crazy niece is taking my life away. And it would be easier if she died. I mourn for her, I don't know, a few months, and then I go on with my life. It seems doesn't help. I'm not helping her. Nobody helps her. You see, just the fact that I knew my time is short makes me selfish, correct? You see how fear of death, not being actually I'm shaking or something, knowledge I'm going to die immediately changes the way how I look at life, how I react to everything, and even simple phone call. Every reaction is different because that is what determines the way how I think, how I react. For that reason, Jesus Christ came and died and rose from death. But I have to tell you a bit more about death to make it clear what is the solution. We will need resuscitation. We will need mouth-to-mouth breathing to receive the new life in us. Because how did we receive the fullness of life? When God created Adam, he breathed his breath, the spirit in the nostrils of Adam. You remember that?
Yeah.
Most of you do. Okay. For those who don't remember, trust. He breathed his breath into Adam's nostrils. The spirit of God, he breathed. What is the spirit of God? Spirit of God is our possibility to relate with God. Spirit of God is our relationship with God. Through the sin. And what was the sin? Not trusting that God loves you. And as soon as you don't trust that, the relationship with God is cut. The spirit of God dies. That's the spiritual death. God said to Adam, on the day you eat from that tree, on that day you are going to die. On the moment when you don't believe that you can, your life comes from me, that I sustain you with my life, love, on that moment you will experience spiritual death. Adam sinned. And he experienced spiritual death. Now, you think spiritual death is something very spiritual and not vague and not understandable. Let me try to show you how it looks like. Here, I think almost everybody is familiar with chicken without head, correct? Okay, how it looks like. Chicken runs around like crazy. That's what are we in spiritual death, okay? You are, why chicken is running around? Because the life is gushing out from it and it runs somewhere trying to find some way to stop losing life. And we are doing the same when we are without God. We run to career. Maybe career will make me happy. No, didn't work. Then you try to get married. No, that didn't work. Then you go to bar with friends. This didn't work. Then you go to casino. This didn't work. Nothing can give you life if you are disconnected from God. If you are connected to God, then all these things may give you life. I'm not sure about casino. Okay. Everything else can give you life. All is good once we have life which comes from God. And nothing is good enough if we are disconnected from God. So how we can connect with God? We need to receive back the Spirit of God. Okay, we receive it in the sacraments and so on. But still, we need day-to-day breathing in of that sacrament. You see, Simeon was waiting in the temple for many years. Essence of the prayer is waiting. You come to God, you say your needs, and then you wait, and you wait, and you wait until He doesn't answer. I like the Psalm 27. It says exactly that. It says, wait for the Lord. That's the life prayer. Wait for the Lord. And we don't know how to wait. Especially in 21st century where you even don't need to flip the switch. You can say, Alexa, put on the light. So we say to God, God, solve the problem. Instead of Alexa, we say, God, solve. And God doesn't do it. Doesn't react in this way. It is what God wants first to do, to change us instead of changing our problem. To help us that we may be connected with Him. So He waits until we are not open for His presence. As Simeon was waiting for many years, Anna was waiting for many years. This waiting for God enable us to receive the gifts from God. The best example is Saint Monica. We don't know how many years she prayed. I heard 18 years she prayed. 18 years she prayed to God. Every day, please let my son be baptized. And God not once said, yes, I hear you, keep praying. Nothing. 18 years, not so smallest sign that He hear her. Yeah, okay, there were some signs. Some bishops and priests were telling her, yeah, God is listening your prayer. Just keep praying. But that didn't help her much to have the confidence, to have direct relationship with God. She wanted that. And then when God answered that prayer, she received much more than she was praying for. She asked only that her son may be baptized. And her son was not just baptized, became the priest, became the bishop, became one of the greatest saints of the Catholic Church. I bet she's now saying, oh, it was worth it to wait. Like Simeon and so on. I will tell you how it looks like when I pray. The moment when I come in front of the Blessed Sacrament to pray, about 1 minute later, you know what happens? I remember something important what I have to do. I just have to do it at that moment. Does it happen to you? I guess. And then I killed that thought. I will do it later. Then I remember something what I have to write for the letter of my rebellion to my rebellious parishioner. So I just have to write now, otherwise I will forget. I have to kill that thought. And then I try to be in the presence of something else come. Constantly something else. You see, the gospel says that why Christ comes? So that the thoughts of many may be revealed. Coming in the presence of Christ, our thoughts are revealed. It is revealed what is important for me. I'm sitting there in the front of Christ, source of life, I know it. I don't have second doubt that Christ is source of life and happiness and everything. I'm sitting there in front of Him and my thoughts are going to everything else is important at that moment for me. Does it happen to you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not the only freak here. And then, the other reason why it's so difficult to come to Christ, to come to Christ, I have to go through all this emptiness which is in me. It's terrifying sometimes to see this emptiness. We try to fill this emptiness with, I don't know, whatever, watching the movie, listening to the music. We cannot be one moment in silence. I don't know who said that, I think Kierkegaard, that silence would save the world. What this world needs is silence. That we may learn how to listen to God again. You see, to come to know Christ is impossible if we don't know ourselves. It's impossible to know ourselves if we don't know Christ. It goes hand in hand with each other. We are created in the image and likeness of Christ. Once we know Him, we will know ourselves. And I feel, at least in my case, I'm terrified to know myself. It's not a nice picture inside, you know. And I say sometimes to the kids in the school, if you cannot be 5 minutes with yourself in silence, then if you are bored with yourself, how will other people feel with you? If you cannot spend some time with yourself. So these moments of prayer, moments of adoration of Christ are the moments when we come closer and closer to Christ. We open ourselves for this union with Christ because again, the Christianity, essence of Christianity is union with the person, not all other things. Everything else, the prayer, sacraments, devotion, whatever else, scripture. You know that how much I love scripture. I always speak about scripture. All this is extremely important. I would never say it's not important. But all this is just the means to bring us to this union with Christ. That's not the end. If you know whole Bible by heart, you can recite it backwards. It's useless if that doesn't bring you in union with Christ, who is the Word made flesh. Because I see that's so important. You see, when Simeon met Christ and recognized in Him, this is my salvation. He hold in his hand Jesus Christ, creator of the universe. Can you imagine? It reminds me on the poem. It says, to recognize the whole world in the grain of sand. To hold infinity in my hands, in the palm of my hand. That's what Simeon did. He hold infinity in the palm of his hands. To see eternity in an hour. But this is what happens there. And Simeon recognized the presence of God. And this was possible because all the times of prayer, because he was all the time searching for Him who could bring him salvation. And the word adoration, that's why I was going. Now we go toward the end for those who are measuring time. The word adoration in Latin comes from Latin ad ora, what means mouth to mouth. It is kiss with God. That what is the top of the purpose of whole union with God. Christ came, He says, I am the groom and you are the bride. St. Paul says, Jesus Christ is the groom and church is the bride. The whole purpose of why we are here is that we may be so much united with Christ, to become one flesh with Christ as in a marriage. And don't do it again. Don't do it again. As I always tell you, we always reduce, this is nice symbolic image. No, that's reality which God wants to establish, to become one flesh with us. Don't reduce it to some little symbolic words. It's God truly wants to become one flesh with us. That's only way how we can share in His life when we are united with that risen body which is already in heaven. Doesn't make sense? It's not some mystical way that God life in you. When you are united with the life which is alive and cannot die, then you experience this life. And how this comes from adoration. One of Catherine's, I never know which one. So if you find, tell me. Okay, Catherine of Siena or Genoa. She said, that she, when she speaks about adoration, she says that it is like little creature climbing up to the on the crucifix and coming to the feet of Jesus. You experience humility. You experience how much we are not worthy, that somebody so unselfish, somebody who experienced the blessedness of heaven, abandoned all this blessedness of heaven, that he may become man and enter in all this pain and suffering to bring me up to heaven. Once you see, once you come to the feet of Jesus, you may, hopefully you may recognize what God is ready to do for you, and to be overwhelmed by that love, to be overwhelmed by understanding at least of that love. But then that little creature climbs up and comes to the wound of Jesus on the side, and is washed by the blood of Christ, which is basically liquid love. You are immersed in the liquid love of Christ. You experience, once you contemplate that He gave His life for us, and that He wants us to receive the same life as He has, you might be truly overwhelmed with that love. But that's not the end. Then you climb still further to the mouth of Christ, and then you are mouth to mouth with Christ. And we have this mouth to mouth resuscitation. The Spirit of God, which we have lost in our spiritual death, He breathes in us again when we are in this union, mouth to mouth, when we are in this adoration, ad ora, when we are not just receiving love, but we are so overwhelmed that we want to love back God. We never can love in that way, but at least we desire. We come there and spend time with God to allow that He transform us with His presence, with His love, that we soak as much love as is possible in our human life, and that we may return some of that love to Him, that we may be transformed by that love, that we may have the fullness of life already now. It may sound wrong, and probably it is wrong if I say, who cares if you rise after your physical death? Who cares if you rise from the death one day after your funeral? It's probably wrong to say it this way. So I'm saying it more as a sign. It is much more important if you experience eternal life already now. If you experience this union with Christ already now, so that you have the fullness of life already now, and you must share that life with people around you. That's the purpose. Again, I like to say that, so forgive me if I repeat it. The purpose of coming here is not that you pay CSA, although I'm always happy when you do that, and you never do it. I'm still happy with God, don't worry. But purpose of coming here is that you may receive eternal life, that you may be filled with joy, that you may be filled with this Holy Spirit, that you may experience already now that death has been conquered, that nothing can destroy you. Let us stand and profess our faith.